Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day and for your blessing. We thank you for the privilege you have given us to be able to study your word, the gospel, this evening. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Robert Harper Sr., who will stand bold this evening and proclaim unto us the message that is able to have us understand what the true gospel entails. Pray, Lord, that he shed the light with your word on the error that many are proclaiming in pulpits across this nation, preaching a gospel that gives people the false hope and the false promises that being rich and having opportunities to have materialistic gain is their goal in life. Pray, Lord, that Brother Harper center this conversation back upon your son, the cross at Calvary which he died on, and the message and the charge that you, O Father, have given to all mankind, because you don't desire any man to be lost. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thankful tonight, Gab, each and every person on. We're very thankful to God for this another opportunity to share his word. You're on the call tonight. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. We appreciate you so very much for being on our call. We pray you open your Bible up and follow along with our speaker that speak tonight. Through us, the person, Brother Robert Harper from the North Shore of the Church of Christ here in Houston, Texas. Brother Harper, another one of our repeat defenders of the truth, and he will speak to us tonight about prosperity preachers. And so we want you to please take note of the things that we see, we study tonight from the Word of God, and make sure you pay attention to what he will be talking about. Talk to us about prosperity.
Thank you, Brother Brooks, and all the men who are working with you. Again, it is my joy, privilege, to be with you on this occasion to speak on this great format where many souls are being brought to Christ, and where many of those of us who are in Christ have increased our knowledge of the Word of God and have been able to be more efficient as we talk to others about Christ and his will and what his desires are for us in preparing us for eternal life. So again, thank you for the privilege. My subject tonight, I'm so appreciative to the theme, and this theme is just absolutely superb. It speaks to the fact that God's word is settled. It must not be tampered with. It must not be altered unless there are serious consequences for doing so. And we know that is the case because of what we read throughout the Word of God. And so we want to just stay with what we can read, stay with what the Bible says, and by doing so, we can know the truth, according to John 8 and 32, and the Bible says it will set us free. My subject tonight is God's Word has settled in heaven, and it's settled forever. And my specific topic is God's word is settled about prosperity preachers. God's word is settled about prosperity preachers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, we come. Thank you, Lord, for this day and its blessings. Thank you for tonight and the opportunity we have to speak on your behalf for your glory's sake and our good. Go with us, strengthen us. You know that we need you. Without you, we are nothing and can do nothing. But with you, we know all things are possible. So, Lord, bless your word right now as it goes forth. May it find its way in the hearts of honest and sincere men and women, and there to germinate and bring forth the kind of fruit to thy name, honor, and glory. These favors we ask, O Lord, give you thanks for, that is in the name of your Son, in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Together we say amen and amen. Brothers and sisters and friends, this is a great subject because it allows us to specifically identify certain preachers who do not have our best interest at heart, who do not sincerely and truly serve the interest of Christ, but who seek after their own. And they do so by whatever means necessary. They will say almost anything, if not anything, to accomplish their diabolical objectives. I know a lot of people cannot at this point appreciate what I am truly saying. Their knowledge of the scriptures is limited, and they have simply been force-fed, in most cases, by these prosperity preachers, that which cannot be read in the Bible. Now, this is not to say that prosperity preachers don't preach some Bible or some truths, for indeed they do. It would be scandalous to the lowest degree if a person claimed to be a Bible man or a God's man and never offered any biblical study or study of the scriptures to justify, to prove his particular position. That would not reflect wisdom at all. So indeed, some truth is being taught, but it is intermingled and mixed with lies, falsehoods, traditions of men. And as a result, it ceases to be the word of the living God. These men are dangerous, men and women, should I say, and their doctrine insidious, because these are they who prey on the innocent, the uninformed, the ignorant. They take advantage of those who are without true Bible knowledge, those who are weak, emotionally vulnerable, for their own personal gain. Their message does not emanate from the Bible, the Word of God. It is their motive, it is merely to use the biblical platform to gain their financial objectives, to accomplish their worldly ideas. They seek the material and not the spiritual. And you only have to know them. You only have to listen to them to know that what I'm saying is exactly the case. And therefore, we come tonight to warn you of these men and women. I want you to understand that I'm not trying to be critical to the place of being rude and disrespectful, but it is a critical analysis of what they claim to be truth, weigh it against what we can actually read in the Bible, God's Word, and determine whether it is something that we ought to accept, something we ought to believe from God. Complete the premise of every good work. Then in 2 Timothy 2:15, we're told to study, be diligent to present yourself, approved to God, not to man. We ought to obey God rather than man. God loves us. He is the one who sent his Son to save us. He is the one who has the ability and power and authority to say, enter into the joys of thy Lord. Or he is the one who is to say, go away into everlasting destruction prepared for the devil and his angels. You and I must be workers who are not ashamed rightly dividing the word of truth. We must go to the Bible and rightly divide it. It is the only way for you and I to know right from wrong. In fact, an Old Testament example, Isaiah 28, that tells us that we are precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. In other words, you cannot find the will of God in just one verse. You must be willing to search the Bible and find the relevant passage that deals specifically with the subject matter. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 34:16, search out of the book of the Lord and read, but none shall fail, not one shall lack her mate. In other words, friends, find the mate. If you find the mate, no other than that, you are able very quickly to determine whether something is in the word or will of God. These persons of whom I speak, these prosperity preachers, they croaked a good gauge. They appear to be those who have our best interest at heart. They seem like they know what they are saying because they do offer some scriptures. But as we shall discover tonight, such is not the case. Jesus said of some that even though they are pure, beautiful on the outside, Jesus said they are nothing more than white sepulchres that are full of dead men's bones. When you go to Matthew 23 and 27, but also notice how Jude describes them. Jude describes them in this way. These are spots in your feet while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. There are clouds without water, carried about by the wind, laid out in trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the root. Jude describes those who are charlatans, who prey upon the innocent, the weak, the vulnerable, those who are ignorant and don't know any better, for their own profit, for their own financial gain. Peter put it this way in 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. But there are false prophets among the people, or even if there are false prophets or teachers among you, who will secretly bring in damnable heresy, denying even the Lord Jesus who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their pernicious or their destructive ways. This is why they are so dangerous. It's because so many people are following after them, who are being led astray, and ultimately they are being led to the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. And this is why the message tonight is so important, because it's a message of warning. It's a message that tells us, do not accept anything or anybody, really, because they claim to be a preacher or an apostle or a pastor or some religious leader. Listen to them and make sure that what you hear lines up with the Bible, the Word of the Living God. Tonight, I want to tell you that it's important that we identify those who make up these prosperity preachers.
It's not always easy to call names, but calling names sometimes is necessary. But how can we identify prosperity preachers if we are afraid or ashamed to call their name? Calling names is a biblical thought. It's not that a person is seeking to be rude or disrespectful or making light of a person, but rather it is to point out that this person is someone who should not be believed. This is someone who should not be trusted. And someone that should be avoided. When we talk about prosperity preachers, we're talking about people like T.D. Jakes, Ivy Hilliard, Ron Parsley, Fred Price, Benny Hinn, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Joel and Victoria Oldsmith, Bill Winston, Creflo Dollars, and many others that I don't have the space or time to name. But let's take a moment. I want to take a moment to mention even some of the women counterparts, persons like George Meyer, Paula Wright, Juanita Bynum, Marilyn Hickey, just to name a few. These are well-known and highly respected in the religious community at large, only because those who are following them do not know any better, or they are held captive by the promises that they make. These individuals, they make great promises of your best life now. Emphasis on your best life. They emphasize the right now as opposed to the hereafter. Let me ask you, how often have you ever heard your best theme? Bill Weston, Fred Price, Kenneth, and Gloria Coleman ever talk about the afterlife, heaven, or even hell? Rare occasion, if ever. In fact, personally, I have never heard such a message or sermon, because the emphasis is not the afterlife. It is right now. And it is not for you, it is for them. They seek to benefit, not you. They only promise you that you will benefit. And that you, like them, will one day experience your payload. One day, your ship will come in. One day, your life will turn around to where you will be able to live even as they do. Jewelry of the most expensive kind. Live in a mansion. Have a bank account of millions. Drive a luxurious automobile. And all other forms of material wealth. This is how they live. And they seek to get you to believe that you can have the same things that they have. My friend, this is nothing more than a lie. A lie from hell itself. Their doctrine is diabolical. And as I said, I don't mean to be rude by calling them out, because I know many of the religious community respect these individuals. But Jesus called on Herod a fox. The Apostle Paul, following the example of the Lord, called out him by the name of Alexander the Coppersmith. 2 Timothy 4 said that he was much, had gotten much harm. And then he told him that we all must be aware of him, because he's readily accepted my words. But now there's a team of apostles serving the basis for you and I knowing what is right and wrong. Every disciple was steadfast in the apostle doctrine. Paul also called out a Hymenaeus and Philetus. 2 Corinthians 12:16-18. The Bible says that he said, "Fail thee, defile and idle babbling," is how he described that teaching. He said, because they increased the glory of godliness. He said, that message was spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus, he said, was of the sort. He said, they strayed away from the truth. Specifically, he identified one of those false doctrines, saying the resurrection has passed. He said that this message would overthrow the faith of some. Then Paul said, "Zanies and Zambres," 2 Timothy 3:8-9. Listen, Paul's calling the names. He's calling them out. He said, "These are those who resist the truth. Me and a corrupt man. This appeals concerning the faith. And they will progress no farther. Their folly will be manifest to all. And therefore, it is manifested when we call their name and we set their doctrine on high so that people can understand that they are teaching false doctrine. They cannot know the difference. Unless they understand from the word of God that these persons are not following the truth of God's word. The Bible says of them, as I further identify, which is so important to do, he says in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing, warning us against them, he says, they walk not after the pattern of the apostles. He says, I told you this in the past, and I'm telling you now, even weeping, that these are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, that is, their own desires, their selfish ambitions for their own glory. He said, but whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Brothers and sisters, according to Colossians 3:1, we as believers, we must set our minds on things that are above and not on things on the earth. But they would have you to think or believe that we are to think in terms of the right now. Make that the whole of your thought. Make that the emphasis of your life. And if you already are in that direction, it's easy for them to use you and to take advantage of you and lead you in doctrines that are damnable and ultimately which will destroy your very soul. These preachers, they don't come with the truth. They come with another gospel. Listen with Paul's warning. Listen to Paul's warning in Galatians chapter 1. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who has called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He says, but there's not another, but there'll be one who will trouble you, who would pervert or change the gospel of Christ. These are those of whom I speak. He said, but if anyone come unto you and bring unto you a different or another gospel that we have not preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again. If any man preach unto you any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be cut off. Let him be an anathema. Let him be forever destroyed and separated from the Lord God. This establishes why this is so important and why it is so serious. You get a picture of how God looks at them, and thus how we must look at them. And the reason Paul styles them in that way, because as they bring this other gospel, they preach another Christ. They don't preach the Jesus of the Bible. They don't preach the Christ of the New Testament. Paul warned in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, they come preaching unto you another gospel, which we have not preached, or another Jesus, which we have not preached. How do I know that? Because if you listen to them, they will tell you the Jesus they preach is a Jesus who was only a man. Jesus who was not God. But you and I both know the Bible is replete with regard to the identity of Jesus Christ. He was man indeed, 100% man. According to 1 Timothy 2:5, the man, Christ Jesus. But he was also God. He was the God-man. He is the God-man, should I say. He was both God, 100% God, and also 100% man. The Bible says of him, the Apostle Paul, writing in 1 Timothy 3:14-16, Paul said, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I delay, he said, I wrote unto you, he says, that how you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Notice this, God was manifested in flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. In other words, Paul describes Jesus Christ. And he begins by saying God was manifested in flesh. That is, God became a man. Who can deny this and not be an antichrist? It was Thomas who said in John 20, after doubting Christ and his glorious resurrection from the dead, once having seen the evidence and touched and handled the evidence, he came away saying, my Lord and my God. Jesus was both God and man and the creator of the world. According to John 1:1-3, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And the Bible says that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Yes, Jesus, the Word, became a man. In other words, the Word, that the Son of God was the Word in the beginning. But then he became a man, known as the God-man, who dwelt among us. And these prosperity preachers will want you to realize, or want you to think, that Jesus was just a man and not the God-man. They also make the claim, since I'm in this area, is that God is the creator of the universe. In the beginning, God, Bara, created the heavens and the earth. God, out of nothing, made everything. And these charlatans, these religious racketeers, are only interested in seeing what they can get from you, making merchandise of you. Say that you have the same creative ability as God. That is what they claim, that you can use your words, Proverbs 18:21, life and death in the power of the tongue. They misuse that verse, and they give you power that you don't have. And I've heard Bishop Hilliard and
and T.D. Jakes, and I've heard Bill Winston, and I've heard a host of them refer to Romans 4:17, where it says, we call those things which do not exist as though they did. In other words, they're saying that you use your words to create life in the same way that God used word and spoke the universe into existence. Now, brothers and sisters, first of all, let me deal with it from a scriptural standpoint. When you go to Romans 4:17, the Bible says God calls things which do not exist as though they did. God, not man, God, not you, not me, but God. God is the only person with creative power. And from a practical standpoint, it's easily to be seen. Use your word to create a different bank account. You need more money? Created by your words. This is utter nonsense. This is foolishness. This is complete foolery. But they are doing their best to cause people to believe them in order to put them in a position where they can rob you for their own good, their financial good. I've heard Kenneth Copeland say that he has the ability to control the storm, and that every Christian can use his mouth or his voice and tell the storm to obey him. This is nonsense. And people believe, even though they have no visible proof. They have no evidence of such. But many are led astray in believing these charlatans with all of the weather catastrophes all over the world. Copeland and others should be held accountable, because if you have the ability to control the weather and storms and earthquakes and so forth, why won't you do it? You won't do it because you can't do it. You do not possess that power. God controls the weather, the storms, and all of the natural, and he uses all of them for his divine purpose that will bring glory to his name in some form or fashion. Whether you and I understand it fully or not is not the issue, because Romans tells us that his knowledge, the knowledge of God, is beyond our understanding, verse 33 through 36. I saw Kenneth Copeland just a few days ago, called himself speaking COVID-19 away. That was at least a month ago. COVID-19 is still here because he does not have the power that he claims to have. And even though people see this, for some, it does not raise alarm. Only those who are watching and listening and observing and comparing what they see and hear others say in relationship to what the Bible says are those who are able to avoid financial and spiritual disaster. They have no power to create. I saw many of them making claims that God spoke to them and told them, almost all of them said Donald Trump would win the election. I'm not here to talk about the political aspirations or
political parties to which one might belong. What I'm here to expose you to is the fact that these are charlatans. They don't know these things. God did not reveal these things to them. They're exposed as being false teachers. And I saw one guy came on the next day as if he said nothing the day before the election and went on as if God is speaking through him. Brothers and sisters and friends, these men are false because not only do they teach a false Jesus, but they say false things in terms of the purpose of the cross. They preach a different cross. What do I mean by that? They preach a different cross by saying, using Isaiah 53 as an example, by his stripes you are healed. In other words, they make the claim that when Jesus died on the cross, he not only died for man's sins, he also died for man's sicknesses. Not true. Not true at all. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood was not shed for man's physical sickness, but his spiritual sickness. By his stripes we are healed refers to man's spiritual malady, refers to man's spiritual sickness. Not physical sickness. If we just go back to the verse they use, Isaiah 53, and begin reading at verse 4, the Bible tells us, verse 5 says, "For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed." Just read the text. The text will show you why he died. If you look at verse 8, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. Look at verse 10. When you make his soul an offering for sin. That's right. For sin, not sickness. Then the Bible says, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Iniquity. Verse 12. He was numbered with the transgressions. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You have to read behind these charlatans. You have to read behind these false teachers, these religious racketeers who are only concerned about property, their own personal financial profit. Because not only do they teach that the cross made possible for man's sicknesses to be healed, but also your wealth. You know, I'm looking at a verse right here before me, and I want to emphasize that even that's Old Testament in terms of prophecy. If you go to the New Testament, it says the same thing. You know, people say, "Well, I plead the blood of Christ. I plead the blood of Christ on my sickness, on my financial condition. I plead the blood of Christ." They have been taught that, and through ignorance, they say, "I plead the blood of Christ." Well, the blood of Christ has one purpose, and that purpose is to redeem man from his past sins. Or from his sins. Ephesians 1 verse 7 tells us we have redemption through his blood. even the forgiveness of sin. Not sickness, but sin. But sin. We are told in Scripture, we were washed, our sins were washed away in His blood. In His blood. Revelation 1 and verse 5. The Bible says He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. And so Peter then interprets Isaiah 54, Isaiah 53 rather. Peter, he tells us what he's referring to, even though it's right there in the text. These charlatans are liars, and their mouths must be stopped. And the only way to stop their mouths and close up their pocketbooks is that the truth of God be known. We must preach what God says. As I said, they also claim that Jesus came and He died that we might not only be healthy, but also wealthy. And they appeal to many passages in the Bible, Old and New Testament, that refer to man's prosperity. I'm not against prosperity. Prosperity is good. But their definition of prosperity makes it seem as if you and I can live in untold riches. That's God's will. For you live in mansions down here. It's promised wealth and untold riches. $1 million mansions, luxurious automobiles and yachts, having a $1 million bank account. That is what they base it on the cross. Second Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. This passage is not referring to material riches. This is not referring to financial riches. This refers to spiritual riches, which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. The many spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul used a similar idea of thought in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10, where he said he became poor, that you through his poverty, he said, might become rich. Rich in Christ. Rich spiritually, the hope of eternal life, the ability to call on God in prayer, to know that the divine providence of God is with us and makes possible that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. These charlatans, they constantly abuse the scripture. They constantly corrupt the word of God for their own purposes. They use scriptures like 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. But they fail to read 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10, which helps you to understand what Paul means in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. That Paul's emphasis is not material wealth and gain. What he's telling us, that there are blessings that we enjoy in this world, but then there are greater blessings which we can anticipate in the world which is to come. And he tells us, whatever your status may be on the earth, in the earth, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world. It's a certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Paul said, having the necessities of life is God's plan, is God's will for us. I can see that my time is out, and
I am so sorry that I went over time tonight, but I was so into this word that I was so hopeful that I would have time to complete all of it. But at any rate, suffice it to know that God says that we ought to be warned by these kind. And in Romans chapter 16, we are told to note them, to mark them, and avoid them, because they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus, but good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. God bless you is my prayer.
Hey, Brother Harper, we appreciate you so very much. Certainly, we got a problem today in the world, men and women, using the Word of God to deceive the world. He gave us some very powerful information from the Word of God regarding these prosperity preachers. And so many people are going to lose their soul following these men and women who are appealing to the hearts of those for in a very false way that's not according to the Scriptures. So thank you, Brother Harper, for that message. Now, if you're under the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we hope pray you will obey the gospel before it's eternally too late. You've got to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that he did die for your sins according to the Scriptures. But Harper said tonight, he shed that blood that washed your sins away in baptism. So if you're on the call, you want to be born again, hearing that gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting your sins, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God, and being baptized, and the steps you have to take in order to be saved. If you want to be baptized and you want to obey the truth, if you've heard a lot of our messages, you've been listening to us over and over each week, go ahead and get back with the person who invited you to the call, and they will help you as well. You can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and we will help you. It's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And no matter where you are in our listening audience, we'll get a preacher to you, someone to study with you, and we'll make sure we get that taken care of for you. So if you're on the call tonight, you want to study more. You want more study, we'll make sure we get someone to study with you further. You want to go back and listen to our messages, go to our website at hollerheightcoc.net. That's hollerheightcoc.net. And there you can find our Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call, all of my recorded messages. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Jesus our Lord, who died on the cross. Save us from our sins. Thank you for the blood that he shed and wash our sins away in baptism. That same blood purchased his church, the only one in your word. That is the church of Christ, the church of your son. Father, we pray your blessings upon our speakers. Brother Harper, thank you for him. And all other speakers who join us and volunteering their time to speak on our program. We pray for our listening audience, Father, that those who are on the call who have not obeyed the truth, receive your word with weakness. And don't be it for his everlasting, eternally too late. Thank you so very much for all you do for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again. We closed out this week. Another great week. Next week, Brother Robert Williams from Memphis, Tennessee, will go to heaven. And Jack Honeycutt, Tuesday night, he's from Tennessee. Macon County, Tennessee, will go to hell. Then Brother Larry Bishop from Portsmouth, Arkansas, about the one true church. Then Thursday night, Brother Joe Caesar, about the blood of Christ. And the closing up with Tim Ellery from Concord, North Carolina, about Christ the Savior. Yes, that's on 25th of December, y'all. And I know that's December 25th, Christmas, and mankind call it. You know we don't believe in Christmas. No, we don't teach Christ wasn't born on December 25th. And I'm going to tell you something. Just use common sense. God would never represent his son with a fat man running wearing a suit with a white beard. Think about it. Read your Bible more. You won't get caught up in that kind of stuff. Don't miss out. It won't be about Christmas, but it will be about Christ the Savior. But Tim Ellen, you come. We ought to just use some common sense on some stuff, shouldn't we? Y'all have a good night now. May God bless you. Join us again Monday night. Another word from the Lord on the Nationwide Gospel Call. Also about the Church of Christ all the life. Located in 105 West New York.